So if I were to ask you, what's your favorite story in the Bible? I would probably get several different answers. But I'm sure somewhere in there would be the story where the armies were surrounding Jerusalem, you remember, and that angel went out there, right? The angel went out, and in one night, 185,000 gone. That'd be one of those stories, wouldn't it? How God delivered, how God blessed them in such a way that they could not have saved themselves, but God stepped in and worked for them, right? Isn't that one of your stories that you would love to have been there? You're probably going to watch the video on that one, I expect, right? I know I want to. See the video on that one? Hyper-reality or something, you know? Beyond HD, HR, hyper-reality, I don't know. But it sounds like fun to me to watch, to see what God would do, to see how the people in the city were humbling themselves before God, and He made a difference. He made a difference. He didn't just walk off and say, hey, sorry, you know, you got yourself into this. He was there for them. That's awesome, isn't it? Because that's really what the story's all about, isn't it? And so let's take a look at some of what happened before that fateful night for the Assyrians. Just before that night, turn with me to 2 Kings, and we'll get a little bit of the backstory here. 2 Kings chapter 18. 2 Kings chapter 18. And we'll get a little bit of the story that comes just before that night. You see, Hezekiah and the people of Jerusalem made preparation for the Assyrian attack. He was not just sleeping, saying, well, hey, God will take care of us. We don't need to do nothing. But he was getting ready. He made preparation. And so, in 2 Kings chapter 18, we read that Hezekiah came to power. He became king when he was 25, it says in verse 2, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. And so he did, verse 3, are you with me? 2 Kings chapter 18, verse 3, it says he did what was right. He did what was right in the sight of the Lord. I think sometimes we read right past that. It was a good one. He was a good one. And we keep on moving. But let's think about that. Because his father was not one of the best. And yet Hezekiah stepped out and did what was right in the sight of the Lord. More than that, look at what went on. Verse 4, he removed the high places. He took away all those places where people went to worship God, but not really. They said, oh yeah, this is worshiping God, but really it was more about them than it was about God. It was more about mixing what was going on in the nation surrounding and calling it the worship of the Lord. It wasn't pure. And so he took away those. It says furthermore in verse 4, he broke the sacred pillars, cut down the wooden image. So he did away with all these things that were from outside of the religion of the true God. And then check out the next section. Look what the next phrase says. And broke in pieces the bronze serpent that Moses had made. Wait. Do you remember that serpent? What was that serpent about back in Moses' day? Wasn't that about faith in God? Right? The serpent bit them in the wilderness, and if they would look, they would live, right? They would be healed. This was supposed to point them to God, but by Hezekiah's time, not so. By Hezekiah's time, they began to worship the thing instead of the God it was supposed to point to, and there was light. Wow, that's pretty good, huh? You see, they had stopped worshiping the true God and begun to worship stuff. You remember, even at the base of the mountain, they had made the idol, the calf, and said, oh, these are the gods that brought you up out of Egypt, right? You see, they wanted to continuously look at things and think that it represented God. But God said, that's not the way it works for me. I'm the invisible, the eternal, the all-powerful God. I'm not represented by these things. And so this king, believe it or not, went and broke that symbol that God had told Moses to make. Well, that's pretty scary. That'd take a lot of guts, don't you think? This was something Moses had made, and he's going to destroy it? You know? Let's think about an example today. If we were to look around us today, might there be something that some people could get hung up on because it's a thing they might be tempted to worship when we're not supposed to represent God that way? How many of you have a background that's not Adventist? I do. I was not an Adventist. And I've gone to lots of different churches, whole bunches of churches. And there's a reason why Adventist churches were made the way they were made. We've made most of our churches a certain way because we want to make sure that we don't give people the wrong ideas about worship. And we need to keep it clear in our minds what worship is all about. You see, we don't have fancy windows and stuff, right? And so we don't worship those things, but there are places where you can see that worship is carried out with things. Like windows. Yeah, how would you feel right now if I just took a big hammer and threw it? Wouldn't it just tear you up? Think about it. Moses didn't make that. It wasn't at God's command that that was made. This guy broke something that God said, make it. In fact, you're supposed to look at it. You're supposed to look and think of it. Not true here, right? And yet we would still have difficulties even here. Can you imagine how much difficulty there was in Hezekiah's day? But Hezekiah did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. And so here we find that he removed all of these things. He removed the high places. He broke the sacred pillars. He cut down the wooden image. He broke in pieces the bronze serpent that Moses had made. He wanted his heart prepared for the coming of the enemy. Right? He wanted to be right with God. He wanted nothing to stand between him and God. He wanted it right. You see, Hezekiah's main preparation for the battle was not a preparation of arms. It was a preparation of heart. Because he knew from whence his help would come. He did make preparations physically. The parallel passage for this in 2 Chronicles 32 indicates that he took away the water supply outside the city for the Assyrian army. saying, why should they have water to drink when they get here? Let's stop it all up. And only the water flowed into the city. He rebuilt the wall. He made weapons. He organized the army. And he made storehouses because he knew there was going to be a siege. He made storehouses for grain and oil and necessities. He made stalls and folds for livestock. He made those preparations, but his first duty was preparing hearts for the coming of the enemy. Now let's take a look at 2 Kings chapter 19. It's coming down to the wire. It's getting close now. And so it was when King Hezekiah heard it. Verse 1, are you with me? 2 Kings 19, verse 1. He heard what was coming on. He knew what was happening. That he tore his clothes. What was that a symbol of? You know. Humility. It was a sign of humility, right? Of grief that this was happening, that there was trouble coming. He humbled himself before the Lord. Furthermore, it says he covered himself with sackcloth and went where? Into the house of the Lord. Brothers and sisters, it is good to be in the house of the Lord, isn't it? Absolutely. And so he humbled himself. He went into the place where prayer was going to be made. And that's good advice for us, isn't it? So it tells what he did there, all the things that he was getting ready to do. And we find here that he was preparing himself. He was praying. He was getting ready. In fact, in verse 4, look at it. It says, as he talked with Isaiah the prophet, and you can read about this in Isaiah's book as well. In verse 4, Hezekiah is speaking to Isaiah, and he says, it may be that the Lord your God will hear all that the Rabshakeh is, whom his master, the king of Assyria, has sent to reproach the living God, and will rebuke. And will rebuke the words which the Lord your God has heard. Therefore, lift up your prayer in the remnant that is left. In other words, he was encouraging Isaiah to be in prayer. And that's true for us too, isn't it? We can encourage one another to be in prayer as we face these tough times. The things that are happening around us, not only the difficult times of the... Hi, sweetie. Not only the difficult times of the economy that we all face, but the difficult times of spiritual lack that is in our world today. Can you think of a time when spirituality was not so much thought of as today? It just has been going less and less and less in people's minds. We're not thinking about it. And so he's encouraging Isaiah, be praying, be praying, be praying. Let's look at verse 14 now. Verse 14, and Hezekiah received the letter, that letter of reproach, that letter that the Rabshakeh had sent. And he sent this letter reproaching God himself, not just the Jews, but God himself. And Hezekiah received this letter from the hand of the messengers and read it. And Hezekiah went up to the house of the Lord. You see, he went over and over and over to the house of the Lord. It was his habit to go to the house of the Lord. That's what he did when there was trouble, when there was difficulties, when things happened. He didn't just say, well, I'm not going back there. That hadn't been any good. No, he was there. He depended on God. Regardless of what else was going on, he depended on the Lord. That's where we should be as well. And so verse 14, he received it, he read it. And Hezekiah went up to the house of the Lord, and he spread it before the Lord. He put that thing out there. He took his problem to the Lord. He acknowledged that it wasn't about him. This isn't about me and that other king. This was about what was being said about the Lord. This was God's issue. Sometimes we get a little confused about that. Sometimes we think that it's about us. You may remember that the Rabshakeh came within hearing of the wall and began to speak in Hebrew so that the guys up on the wall could hear. And Hezekiah's men said, oh, please, don't talk in Hebrew. We understand other things. Go ahead and talk to us then. And that messenger said, why? Why shouldn't I say it out loud? Why shouldn't I say it so those people up on the wall can hear me? Because they are going to be eating and drinking their own waste with you. That's pretty disgusting, isn't it? Because that's what happened in a siege often. And you see, his idea was to make it about us, about the men on the wall, to take our eyes off of God, to take our eyes off of the only one who can do something. Sometimes we're tempted to make it about us. Oh, we don't have this, we don't have that. We don't have a nice place for people to meet. We don't have these things. We don't have a church bus. We don't have this. We don't have that. And the devil would like us to concentrate on all of that. Get us thinking about that. It's not about that. It's about us telling the world what the Lord has for them. It's about telling the world what a great God we serve. It's about the world not understanding that our God is able. That's what it is. I wonder how many of you guys are like me? I think I did that once before, didn't I? It's the day for losing that thing. I wonder how many of you guys are like that, like me a little bit. Sometimes I'll go to Patty. And I'll say, hey, sweetie, check this out. It's really good. I think we ought to do one of those. My wife's smart, though. She says, yeah, what's under here? Oh, it costs that much. Ah. See? We try to get the opinion without all the facts, right? You know, kind of color things a little bit, kind of make it so that it's not all there, right? Is that what Hezekiah did? When he went to the temple of the Lord, he spread it out before the Lord so that the Lord could see it all. Right there, wasn't anything hidden, nothing strange, nothing going on that wasn't spread out before the Lord. You see, the Lord already knew, didn't he? We're not going to fool God. He knows the whole circumstance, doesn't he? But sometimes we try to do that with God. Well, we only have this much money in the budget. You know, it's kind of like we're holding our finger over some really important point there, you know? As though God is not able. Sometimes we make plans that are only as big as us. What? Do we not serve a big God? Do we not serve a God who can do more than we can ask or think? We serve a tremendous God who is willing to do above and beyond, to do more than we can imagine, to go where we cannot think to go, to do for us what we could never do for ourselves. To rout the enemy when we have no strength for war. So Hezekiah saw God for who he was. The God who is able. The God who understands all these things. And he spread it out before him, acknowledging who God was. But he also understood the problem for what it was too. Take a look with me again at verse 12. Look at verse 12 of chapter 19. Whew. The Rabshakeh in that letter said, "Have the gods of the nations delivered those whom my fathers have destroyed?" Oh, you think your God is so much better, Hezekiah? You think your God is so different? Look at all those others. Look at them all. They're all gone. I burned them up in the fire. They're all toast, literally. Gone. And Hezekiah even said so. Take a look at verse 18. He says that they have destroyed all those other nations, verse 18, and have cast their gods into the fire. They're all gone. He understood that. He knew that there was a problem, that all of these other gods that claimed to be gods that people worshiped were gone. Why? Because they were no gods, but the works of men's hands, wood and stone. There was nothing there. Hezekiah understood that the problem was that Rabshakeh was reproaching the true God. And it was about the true God. That this was not about just human beings who worshiped wood and stone, who had made something and then worshiped it. This was the God of heaven that was being reproached. He understood what it was about. That the focus was on God, not himself. And then he saw the solution for what it was as well. So he saw, first of all, who the Lord was. He saw what the problem was. And he saw what the solution was. And he recognized that the solution came from the God of heaven. Look with me, verse 19. "Now therefore, O Lord our God, I pray, save us from his hand." It was not about what we could do, not make us better. You ever notice we do that with God? We make plans and then we ask God to bless them. How about we join God in his plan? Sound good? You know, instead of saying, "God, here's what I'm going to do, and boy, I hope I can make it." What is that? Instead, he kneels down and he says, "God, this is in your hands. This is about you. If it's going to be salvation for us, it's going to be because of you." And so he bowed down to the Lord and he asked for salvation. That all the kingdoms... Now here's the other part. Are you with me? He asked for God to save, but he also understood that this solution was not a solution that was about him either. The solution was about what happened out there with other people and the character of God. He says that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that you are the Lord God, you alone. Wow. Wow. This was all about God. It was about God's saving and about God's witness. You notice how it's that way each time. It's about that relationship with God. It's about that relationship with others. It's about how we are here to do God's work, not our work. It's about how we are here for God's kingdom with others, not our kingdom and myself. It's about how we can serve God, not how he can serve us. Did I go a little too far with that one? No? Okay. All right. And so, how does this work out for you and me? How does this work out today? How does this work out a little closer to home? Maybe some of you have heard a fellow a fellow named James White. Anybody ever heard of James White? Heard of James White, maybe? Yeah. He had a wife that was kind of, you know, familiar to you too, probably, right? James White had gone to some meetings in New York, New England, and on his way back, he began to think, what should I do? What should I do? Where should I go, Lord? What should I do? And he began to have the impression that he should print a little paper. He should print a little paper. You see, he prepared his heart too, didn't he? He made preparation in his life, but he also knew whose work it was. He also knew it was the Lord's work, and he lifted up his heart to God saying, Lord, what would you have me to do? He came to the Lord first, recognizing who the Lord was, acknowledging the Lord, seeing the Lord as the God of heaven. And so he presented himself to the Lord. What should I do? And so he got the impression I should do a little paper. But as he came home, he began to think, I don't have any money. How am I going to print a paper with no money? What am I going to do? How can I make this happen? How can I go forward with no money, with no idea of what I'm doing? How can I make this go? But he realized it was not about him. And so he decided to go forward. He understood the problems, he saw them, but he knew the solution was the Lord. And so he prayed, and he knew it was from God alone. And as they finished that first paper, maybe you remember the story, they put it in their living room, and they knelt around it, and they prayed with tears, asking the Lord to bless their feeble efforts. You see, they asked the Lord for his blessing at the beginning. They asked the Lord's blessing at the end. They called one another together for prayer. They were in the Lord's will. They had made the preparations, and now God had provided. And so they sent this out with their prayers. He walked 8 miles one way to deliver it to the post office. Anybody have their mailbox that far from their house? Not quite that far, huh? 8 miles. I'm thinking to myself, I'd have to find a hotel halfway through or something. But he walked 8 miles, dropped them off, and he did it each time. And pretty soon, the means started coming in to help defray the expenses God was providing. And furthermore, the message was going out and people were being blessed. It can happen as we turn ourselves to the Lord, even if we don't know how it's going to work. How about you and I here in Lakeland today? What can we do? How can we make this happen for us? Brothers and sisters, we are starting into a lifestyle of evangelism. That we will be continuing this thing. September, October, not the end. It's just part of. Because after we do that, then we need to think, how can we help these people that have just learned the truth become involved? And also learn how to be like Hezekiah and come to the Lord. Do what we need to do, see the problems, but see God as the solution and move forward. Maybe the issue for us sometimes is we don't realize there's a problem. Everything's good. We're just cruising along. Sometimes for some of us it's tough. It's difficult. But we're making it. And we're tempted by the devil to get our mind off of this and think about ourselves. We're under siege. We have so many economic difficulties. We have so much going on in our country. We got crazy things happening. We've got storms. We've got earthquakes. And we've got all kinds of things happening. You know, we're under siege here. It's about us. How do we survive? And we forget that it's about God. This is about doing His work. It's about building His kingdom. It's about staying close to Him and being prepared as the enemy comes in like a flood. We've been preparing for Net 2011. We've spent some money on advertising, brochures, banners, tickets, all kinds of things. And now we need to see God for who He is. We need to come to the house of the Lord and pray. We need to be encouraging one another. Find the Isaiah in your life and encourage him to pray. We need to be doing what Hezekiah did and going to the Lord, telling him, we want to join you in this work. We want to be with you in spreading the gospel. We want to fulfill the Great Commission with you. We want to be a part of your work, giving the last day message to a world that's dying. We want to be with you, Lord, in your work, fulfilling your kingdom in love with your people. And so, we need to spread it out. Spread it out before the Lord. We need to come to the Lord in prayer. You've heard this morning two or three times from Elder Wilson, Elder Taylor, each one encouraging us to pray. Pray, pray, pray. Brothers and sisters, do you think we have power against the enemy without prayer? Definitely not, right? We are as powerless as Hezekiah was against the entire army of the Assyrians. The Assyrians came up to the wall and teased him, said, tell you what, we'll give you 2,000 horses to fight against us. But you can't even get 2,000 guys to put on them. How much is the devil laughing at us? But you see, it's not about us. It's not about whether we can do battle. It's whether we will trust the Lord. It's whether we will do what He's asked us to do. It's whether we will come on board with Him. It's whether we will be praying people. That's what it's all about. That's where it starts. And then, as we are ready, you see, we still make those preparations of building the wall. We still make the preparation of bringing in the water. We still make the preparations of stockpiling the food. We still are preparing. We still have to do our part. But it's God's battle. The battle is the Lord's. We know what the problems are. We know how difficult it is to win people in this world. We know how difficult it is to talk to our neighbors and our coworkers. We know these things. But that's not what it's about. It's how much God is able. You see, sometimes it's amazing how God can open doors for you. How He will give you an opportunity to say something when you never thought it was possible. The Lord is able. And we need to be praying, Lord, give me that opportunity. Let me have that open door, Lord. Let me find that chance to talk. And guess what? He will. He absolutely will. He is able, not by might, nor by power, but what? By my Spirit, saith the Lord. Absolutely. And so, this week, I'm asking you to be praying people. Praying for our Net 2011. But you understand that Net 2011 is not about just advertising. Net 2011 is not just about what we're going to do in this building, hosting the archaeology presentations that begin, what date? Pop quiz, huh? September 14, that's right. It's not just about what is happening on signs and by handing out stuff. What is it more about? It's about what we are doing day by day. It's about you and I praying every day, making sure we acknowledge, God, this is about you. This is not just about the offering I put in the plate. This is not just about what's going on with the stuff that we've ordered, the weapons of war that we've put together. It's not just about those things, but it's about me and you being together, Lord, in a relationship that makes me ready to listen to you, to do your will. It's about me listening for that opening with my coworkers, with my neighbors, with my friends. It's about me and you, Lord, working together for your kingdom. That's what it's about. And so this week, be praying, praying, praying that the Lord will open those doors for you. We want to give you an opportunity here in just a moment to stick by, to wait here in your seat. We'll only take a couple of minutes. Brother Steve just talked about it a few minutes ago, that we will listen for your questions, that we will try to help you understand the kinds of things we're talking about, where the doors are open, how can you listen for that? Those kinds of things are what we want to talk about. How we can be ready, not today, but Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday, to meet with our friends and talk about the Lord. That's what we want to talk about. Because if Net 2011 is going to be successful, it won't be because of the advertising. That'll help. But it's because of you. It's because of you believing that God is so able that you're willing to ask Him. Right? Isn't that what prayer is, by the way? Talking to the Lord because we think He's able to do something? I mean, you wouldn't ask me to just, you know, reach up there and change one of those light bulbs if it went bad, would you? You wouldn't ask me to just reach up. I don't think I can make it there. Do you? I'm not going to make it, am I? You're not going to ask me that because I'm not able. If you're praying to the Lord, you're acknowledging that you think He is able. Right? That's what it's all about. We don't ask somebody who we don't think is able. You're not going to ask me to give a sermon in Spanish, I hope. Because I'm not able. Right? At least not yet. Maybe. Someday when we're in heaven, I'll be able because it's the language of heaven, right? I know, that's what I hear anyway. I'll wait till I get there, but that's what I'm hearing now. So this week, we're praying. We're asking the Lord to bless. We are going forward on our knees because we believe in God. We understand the problems, but we know where the solution comes from. We are trusting God. Hezekiah wasn't perfect. James White wasn't perfect. You don't have to be perfect either. Because look what happened in verse 20. Look what happened in verse 20. 2 Kings chapter 19, verse 20. Then Isaiah the son of Amoz sent to Hezekiah saying, "Thus says the Lord God of Israel, because you have prayed." Without the prayer, it wouldn't have happened. Because you have prayed to me, to whom? To me, not to dead presidents. Yeah? Because you have prayed to me against Sennacherib, king of Assyria. What happened? What happened? What did God do? I have heard. God is waiting, brothers and sisters. God is waiting. He has already promised He will hear us. We are His praying people, recognizing Him, seeing Him for who He is. trusting in Him. This week, let's fulfill that and be the people of God. Those who keep the commandments of God and have the faith of Jesus.